Mark's Gospel, the 11th chapter, the 24th verse. Mark, 11th chapter, the 24th verse. Everybody ready? Begin. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Let's read it again. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Let's read it one more time. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Amen. Amen. You got to believe it. You got to believe it, and you got to say it. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your word today. It shall go forth into the hearts of every hearer. And Father, I thank you, Father, that it will bring forth much fruit for the glory of God. I thank you for healing. I thank you for the manifestation of your power. I thank you for your glory, Lord, that you caused to be released in this house today. I bind and I take authority over every demonic force that tries to hinder every soul in here from hearing from God. Father, your word is incorruptible. Your word is anointed. Your word is powerful. Your word is made alive, quick. It has quickening power. And so, Father, I thank you that your word is mighty to change and to rearrange and to line up and to fix that which is crooked and make it plain. Thank you, Father, that we have an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say today. We receive it done in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My message today is faith always believe you receive. Faith always believe you receive. But I want you to know that there are two different types or kinds, I put it that way, of faith. There's the head knowledge faith, and there's the heart knowledge faith. Now, when the Lord is talking to us, he's dealing with us all having faith. The world has faith from the sense realm, from what they feel and what they see and how they even think. But you and I, we're to operate in the spirit realm. See, most of us don't operate there as Christians. Most of us operate in the sense realm. We operate on how we feel. We operate on what we see. We operate on what we think, even if it's in error. But see, God has already instructed us in his word in Philippians 4th chapter. He said for us to think on things that are lovely, right? Think on things that are pure. Think on things that are just. Think on things that are true. Think on things that are of a good report. If there be any virtue, be any praise, think on these things. Now, let's be honest. Do we always think that way? Huh? So that's telling us that, okay, there needs to be some transformation that has to take place in how we think. That's why the word of God tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it's important that we renew our minds constantly to the word of God so that we can constantly operate in the spirit realm. Because the word of God is spiritful, okay? Remember, Jesus said these words out of John's Gospel, the 6th chapter, the 63rd verse. He says, the words that I speak, they are life. They are spirit and they are life. See, they are spirit and they are life. So if God's words are spirit and life and we speak God's word, which is spirit and life, we're speaking that which is spirit and life. Amen? And the word has instructed us to say what God says. And a lot of times, you know I miss it too. I'm trying to act like I've met the mark every time. But the Holy Spirit on the inside will check me. And he does the same thing with you. When you know you said something you ain't had no business saying. Okay? Sometimes you ignore it. I know y'all don't always ignore it, but sometimes I have, you know, and because I want it my way. See, the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. So we want to make sure that we speak things out of our mouths that will be healthy. See? The Bible said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to edifying, that it may bring grace to the hearer, that it may bring what? Grace, which is God's unmerited favor, unearned favor, undeserved favor to the hearer. But the hearer is not only just the person that you're speaking to, the hearer is you too. So, and see, the hearer is you, and so that's how faith comes. So when we were not born again, we had the knowledge faith. But when we became born again, we have God kind of faith. See, the world don't have the God kind of faith. I said the world don't have the God kind of faith. Because now think about it. If they had the God kind of faith, they'd be saved. Now, go with me to Ephesians, the second chapter. Every believer has the God kind of faith. Every believer has the faith of God. Ephesians, the second chapter, in the 8th verse. Ephesians, the second chapter, in the 8th verse. Are you there? And the Bible says this, for by grace are ye saved through what? Faith. And not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. That's in the 9th verse. So you know what? I can't boast about my salvation that I did it. I can only boast about what he did, Christ, did for us so that you and I could be saved. But it was grace. And see, actually, grace is the personality of Christ himself. Remember the word God says in the John's gospel that he was full of grace and truth? Who was? Jesus. And the Bible also says in the 17th verse of the first chapter of John that he came with grace and truth. Moses gave the law, but Christ gave grace and truth. He gave truth, which is the word, grace, which is the favor of God. So it was the favor of God that was given to each of us so that you and I could have the faith of God. See, grace is actually given to the whole world, but it's up to us to receive faith, and faith only comes by us hearing the word. Amen? Because what? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? So we know that's how faith comes. So now the question is, I want my faith to be developed. I want my faith to grow. You know, all of us don't have, we all been given the measure of faith, but all of us don't operate on the same level of faith or the same degree of faith or the same measure of faith. But we all have the measure of faith, but we haven't all develop the faith. So it's just no different if a person goes to the gym. What did it do? You can't just look at the weights and think that you're going to build your muscles up. And that's how some people do with the word of God. You know, they just look at it and that's about it. And they leave it alone, you know. But you have to exercise it. You have to apply it. See? See, the Bible said you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. But it's the truth that you know that will make you free, not because you have knowledge of it. What do you mean? The truth that you apply. See, you can have some knowledge of truth, but don't apply it. So what good is it? See, you're not making it applicable in your life. Okay? So faith, we know that faith is also, in Hebrews 11 chapter, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But faith, but I want you to say this. I want you to see this, rather, because you've heard this before, but it's good to hear it again. Why? That's how faith comes. Faith didn't say it comes by having heard. Faith said it comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when you got faith in operation, faith is always in the present tense. Because Hebrews 11:1 actually says, now faith. Didn't say faith is something that things hope for. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And we know that word was added, but even if you take that word now out, you still see the present tense of is. Faith is, which means what? Present tense. So whenever you're speaking the word of God, is always in the present tense. You're not going to get it. You already have it. You're not going to get faith that's already been given to you because you already have it. Now, you can develop it, but you already have it. You already have the God kind of faith. Every believer already have the God kind of faith. All right, go with me to Romans, the 12th chapter. 12th chapter and the third verse. Romans 12th chapter, third verse. And the scripture says this, for by the grace, and I'm going to read this out of the Amplified version. By the grace or unmerited favor of God given to me, I warn everyone among you not to estimate or think of himself more highly than he ought to, not to have an exaggerated opinion of his importance, but to rate his ability with sober judgment, each according to the degree of faith apportioned by God to him. Now, in the King James Version, I know you got it this way, and I like the King James as well. The King James, the last part of that verse says, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Every man that he's referring to here is every believer, not every unbeliever. Every believer, okay? Because he's talking to the church here. See, be not conformed to this world, the previous verse, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He's talking to the church. Amen? And he's, even though it's written to the Romans, Roman church, but he's actually talking to the church, okay? And the third verse says he's dealt to every man the measure of faith. So now you and I have the measure of faith. But I want you to know this too. There are different, as I said earlier, there are different measures or different degrees of faith that we have to develop. Now, how do I get that? Did I come up with, you know, I just thought one day I just came up with this because I'm so smart. No, the Bible just plainly tell you all this, okay? And I want you to write this down so you can kind of see some things about, I believe when you write it down, you can kind of see, okay, where am I? That's what I want you to see. Where are you with your faith level? What are you doing with your faith? Are you inactive with your faith? Because the Bible even talks about all of that. And I want you to write this down. Strong faith. Weak faith. I'm just going to go through some faith. Little faith. Am I too fast? All right, just keep up. Overcoming faith. You don't have to write the word faith again. Just write the first word I give you. Steadfast faith. Full of faith. Perfect faith, growing faith, shipwreck faith, spirit of faith. Isn't that something? When you think about faith, you just thought about, most of you may have thought just only faith, but the Bible talks about numerous of different degrees of measures of faith. And I'll read them again. Strong and weak faith, little faith, great faith, overcoming faith, steadfast faith, full of faith, perfected faith, growing faith, shipwreck faith, spirit of faith. And I didn't share with this one, unfinged faith. Unfinged, you know, you don't use that word. It's spelled U-N-F-E-I-G-N-E-D. Okay? Strong faith and weak faith. Who do you know in the Bible that dealt with strong faith and weak faith? Who had strong faith in the Bible? Anybody? Who? Abraham. Abraham. Now, the reason why I ask that question, because see, if you know where strong faith is, you would have responded with it. You got me? Got me? See, you're responding. Why? Because you've been spending time in it. See? Wherever you put your attention to, that's what you're going to have your knowledge base of. Whatever you put your attention to, that's where you're going to have your knowledge base of. Amen? Amen. What you putting your attention to? See, because the Bible said that what? The just shall live by faith. The just shall walk by faith. Didn't it say that? So actually, the most important thing that you have once you become born again is faith. Some of you may say love, but you know, there's some people you can't love without faith. Come on here. You know, because some people ain't too lovable. Huh? Come on. And the Bible says, you know, faith worketh by love, but love worketh also by faith. And you know, you got to have some faith to love some people. Because sometimes you just don't feel like loving on them. You got to have faith to forgive them. Got to have faith to talk to them in love. Huh? Without, you know, cutting their heads off. So you need, and see, that comes from the heart of God, the God kind of faith. Okay? Strong faith. As Mama Pat says, Abraham had strong faith. Go with me to Romans, the fourth chapter. Romans, the fourth chapter. Romans, fourth chapter. Are you there? Still going there? 17th verse, and it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. God called those things that be not as though they were, but God was instructing Abraham to do the same. He calleth those things that be not as though they were. And he was instructing him how to operate in the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith called those things that be not as though they were. It be not that you have, a lot of money in the bank. It be not that your health is not, you know, like it's supposed to be. You know, it be not that, you know, you got a lot of crazy stuff going on in your household. In other words, you want things to be what God has ordained for them to be. So even when you got all this crazy stuff going on, you have to call those things that be not as though they were. But if you look at the problem and you look at the symptoms and you look at the situation and you look at everything that's not going well, you only speak that. You're not calling those things that be not as though they were. If you're speaking the situation that's not good, then you're not calling those things that be not as though they were. Amen. Amen. I know I'm right. But it just tell you, so now what are you doing? You're operating in head faith, what you see. You're not operating in heart faith and what you believe. See, all things, the Bible said all things are possible to what? To them that believe. So that means I got to change the way I believe if I want to see what God says I can have. Amen? And this is the struggle that many Christians have, many believers have, is that they struggle because they got to see it to believe it. Okay? Now go down, go down to the 19th verse. And he says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body dead when he was about 100 years old, yet the deadness of Sarah womb. So the Bible said he wasn't weak in faith. And the reason why he was not weak in faith, he did not consider his body dead. He didn't consider it. Why are you considering it then? Why are you considering all the symptoms and the sickness? I know I'm hitting hard already. Y'all wanted me to go there, didn't you? Why are you considering it? Why? Because you haven't considered the word of God to be greater than your symptoms. I know I'm right. See, the hot God kind of faith is speaking life. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, isn't it? Proverbs 18:21. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. But so what are you really loving? Are you loving more on what you see, feel, touch, hear? Or are you loving on what you believe God's word says? See, if you spend time there, then you'll get the seed to bring forth the harvest and the crop that you desire. See? What things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. That's our theme scripture, right? Well, what are you believing when you pray then? What are you actually believing? Think about it. What are you really actually believing? Are you in your head or in your, are you in your heart? See, a lot of folks still in their head, but they're not in their hearts because they're speaking what's coming out of their head. Now, we're not denying the fact that the enemy won't bring a lot of crazy stuff to you. Well, you know what the doctor said. Well, you know, I still got pain. I know that's what the pastor said, but I'm going to tell you, that's him, but that's not what I'm dealing with. Huh? All that's going in your head. You're dealing with your head when you're dealing with that. See, when you go to the word, you got to say, look, I'm going to stand on what your word says, Father. What things soever I desire when I pray, I believe I'm going to receive them. And I believe I receive them, not going to receive them. Let me change that. Not going. See, I'm glad I said that. Because when you say I'm going to receive them, you're looking to the future. You're hoping it's going to happen. But when you actually say I believe, you already have it. Because listen to that scripture now. That's why I told you to read it three times. You thought I just wanted you to read it. No, I had you read it three times because I want you to see it. And you have to see it in your spirit, not just in your head. See, you can have doubt in your head and faith in your heart, and it'll still work. Because the enemy will come against your head with doubt and unbelief, but your heart is saying, I don't agree with that. See? Now understand this. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. So if whatever you got in abundance, that's what's going to be coming out of you. So if you got doubt and unbelief, and if you got the symptoms of a situation that you're focusing on the most, then that's what's going to come out of your mouth, because that's what you got in your heart. And see, you got to understand this. The scripture says in Mark's gospel, the previous verse that we just read, Mark's gospel, the 11th chapter, 23rd verse, he says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in their heart. See, the key is don't doubt in your heart. He didn't say you couldn't doubt in your head, couldn't have some doubt in your head. He said just don't doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things that you say or saith shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you saith. That's, so it's important because three times he talks about saying it. And he only talks about believing it one time. So the more you say it, the more you're sowing, in, which is the incorruptible seed, the word of God in your heart to produce faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, I mean, you got to do a little work. You may don't want to do it, but, you know, it pays off. The dividends are far greater than you having to go to the doctor so often, and look, and then you got to pay this bill, you know, what you want to do? Pay the bill, huh? No, the best now, we're talking about the best. The best is God's word, see? And when you find God's word, you then take that word and you have it in your heart, see? You really haven't found it if it's not in your heart. You haven't found it if it's not. Just because you can quote a scripture, just because you can see where it's located in the Bible, don't mean you have it. You have it when you believe. That's according to the scripture. And you need to tell yourself, according to the word, I'm standing on this word. It is written. Whatsoever things I desire when I pray, I believe I receive them and I shall have them. Don't even talk about your finances being bad. Huh? You didn't talk about that enough. That didn't change it, did it? Probably made it worse. Stop talking about what you don't have and start talking about what you do have according to the word. Because, see, God operates from the supernatural. That's where the spirit realm is. God will cause money to come to you. He'll cause opportunities for you to have projects, for you to have contracts, for you to have positions where money will come to you. Huh? Because why? You have released your faith in that area. See? And I know there are times when you just want to speak the circumstances. Well, you just don't know what I'm going through right now. I got this bill. Man, this bill just came in. I don't know what I'm going to do. Don't even go there. Don't allow. See, Satan desire for you to operate in the sense realm. That's the battleground. That's where he can kick your butt. But not here. When you're operating here, when you're operating from your heart, from your spirit, he can't touch that. See? When you're operating here, you're operating in the throne room. The Bible says in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, 16th verse, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy to find grace to help in the time of need. We can come boldly. In other words, we can come fully persuaded. Don't you know that Abraham was fully persuaded? He was fully persuaded. Why was he fully Fully persuaded. He was fully persuaded because of the fact he believed what God had said was true. That's what you got to get there. Because sometimes, you know, do you really believe what God has said is true? What do you mean, do I really believe, Pastor? Well, if you talk contrary to what God says, you really don't believe. When you say what God says, you step into the arena of belief. When you continue to say, even when things are not even changing, things are not even doing like it's even working, you still believe that word. You got to believe that the previous verse said the word is the word in the 12th verse of that same chapter of Hebrews. He said the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. You got to believe that. I believe your word is quick and powerful. It's anointed for the job. See, you got to put a demand. Don't you know when he spoke to the mountain out of Mark's gospel, he didn't pray. But don't you know in the 24th verse, he said, what things soever you desire when you pray. When he spoke to that fig tree and he cursed it from the roots up, no man should. He spoke these words: no man should eat from this tree again, ever. That's all he said. He didn't say, Father, I come before you. You are a mighty God. You are an awesome God. You know how we get all religious. And he didn't want to hear all that. Just speak the word. You know. We try to impress God with our words. He didn't say that. He just spoke a word. And he commanded that word to go forth, and that word caused that tree to be cursed. But then it goes into the 24th verse. That's when he says pray. But you know when you pray, you got to say something. I was sharing last week when I was talking about prayer, at the church in Tidewater, and I said, what is this thing about silent prayer? I'm going to ask all of y'all to close your eyes and we're going to have silent prayer. Okay. What did y'all say? Who said what? Who God was you praying to? You follow what I'm saying? So, and now, here's my thing. Do you read in the Bible that the Lord said we're going to have silent prayer? Then why are we doing it? Why are we practicing something because we heard somebody say do it and we do it? Okay, some of you knew that, but some of you may be chewing on it now. But I'm just, in other words, God did not create the heavens and the earth by doing this. Did he? The Bible kept saying through the first chapter of Genesis, and God said, you know he said it, and when he said, let there be light, and light was, and the rest of it, he said, and it was good, but he had to say something. You got to say something to sickness. Sickness, go in Jesus' name. Don't even allow your head to say, it ain't gone. Come on now, you know, I'm in your stuff, you know. Well, can't you feel the pain? You speak, hey, pain, you don't live here. This is not your residence. This is a temple of the Holy Ghost. I call you out now. You evicted. Go in Jesus' name. And you probably say, in your head to say, I ain't going nowhere. I'm in your stuff. I know I am. Your head will tell you all of those things. Your head will tell you everything that's going to be contrary to what you believe in God's word says. But you need to stand, as Paul told the saints here in Ephesians, stand therefore, having done all, stand. having your loins girt about with truth. What is that? The word. Having on the helmet of salvation. Huh? What is that? The word. You know, having having on the breastplate of righteousness. All that is encompassed with the word. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. All that is encompassed with the word. You know, and above all, the shield of faith. That's the word. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So you got to have the word. So you and I can stand against any test. What's the biggest thing that you ever had to involve with in your life that you didn't know how to overcome? Because you didn't look to the word. It's because you didn't look to the word. If you didn't know how to overcome, it's because you didn't look to the word. Because the word has an answer for all of us. The Bible said we sit with him in heavenly places where we have all spiritual blessings. We've all been blessed with the spiritual blessings of God. And we sit with who? Christ Jesus. And then you go say you sit with Christ and then you think Christ can't handle it? Is it too much? This is a job too hard for you, Lord. No way. It's all in the mind. Come on now. I know I'm right about it. It's all in the mind. It's how you're thinking. You quit and you give up because, you know, and the Bible tells us, let us not be weary in well-doing, but in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Didn't it? So, I mean, I'm not supposed to be faint. I'm not supposed to be quitting. I'm not supposed to be throwing in the towel. I'm not supposed to be. No, it's no quitters in the house. He has called you to triumph. He has called you to be an overcomer. He didn't stagger. The Bible said he didn't stagger at the promises. Because why? He looked to the promises. When you stagger at something, you become double-minded. And the scripture says in James, the first chapter, a double-minded man is unstable in all, this is some, all his ways. I'm believing this, but I'm talking that. It ain't going to work. What you believe from the word of God, you got to talk the word of God. Even when opposition come against you, you still talk the word of God. God not going to make you look bad. I'm going to tell you that when you truly believe him. But it's going to be a struggle for you because you've never been there before where you just stood on the word and believed the word. Even when opposition came against you, you still believe the word. Even when people said it ain't going to work, this don't look like it's working for you, but you still believe the word. But understand this, you had to spend time there to get there. So strong faith. Strong faith. Go down to the go back to Romans. I kind of took you around a little bit. Go to Romans, fourth chapter, in the 20th verse. And he said, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Strong in faith. How many times you going to call the pastor and you don't know what to do when I've told you what to do? What do you think I'm going to tell you when you call me and you don't know what to do? I'm going to tell you what I did. I'm telling you now. Think about it. We have what we have because that's what we're saying. Overcoming faith. 1 John 5 and 4. I may run through these right quick because you guys got to keep up with me. You just write them down. Just write a verse down. I'm going to quote them for you. Overcoming faith. What is overcoming faith? Overcoming faith comes out of 1 John 5 and 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. How do I overcome? Through what Christ has given me, through his finished work. He overcame, that allowed me to overcome. This is the victory to overcome the world, even our faith. What kind of faith is that? The God kind of faith. What kind of faith is that? The God kind of faith, or the faith of God, or faith in God. I like it to say it like this, the faith of God, or God's faith. Don't you know you got God's faith? How do you know you got God's faith? Because you got God's word. If you don't have God's word, you can't have God's faith. But when you got God's word, you got God's faith. Because God's faith is wrapped up in his word. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen? So every time you speak the word of God, you are speaking faith. This is what God wants. God wants our mouths to be connected to our hearts. See? Your mouth to be connected to your heart. Not separate from your heart, but connected to your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak, right? But it also says in Romans, the 10th chapter, the 8th verse, it talks about what we should be saying. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach or speak. So you and I have the word of faith when we preach or expound upon God's word. God's word is the word of faith. Amen? So the word of faith is going to say, I'm calling those things that be not as though they were. The word of faith, it says, I'm going to say what the word of God says. You know, your head said, I don't look like I'm going to do well on this test. But faith says, Father, I thank you. I've already prepared. I've studied. And I thank you, Father, that you said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of you. What am I doing? I'm releasing my faith in the written word of God. And I believe in that what I'm speaking now will come to pass. But you ain't speaking nothing. You ain't saying nothing. You ain't having nothing. See, the enemy, the God of this world, he wants to keep you in the sense realm of worry. And if you're worrying, you're operating in sin. Sweating at night. Mad with somebody when they call you on the phone. What you want? I'm not a solicitor. I'm your brother. I'm just calling you. So you gotta have peace of God that passes all understanding that will keep your heart and your mind. You can't lean to your own understanding, the Bible says. But in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. If you lean into your own understanding, you're leading to your own mind. You lead into your way of thinking. And you got to change your way of thinking. Transform your mind to God's way of thinking. That means you got to do some work with you. And you got to say, Holy Spirit, I need some help. You got a big day here that you got to do with this one. You got to work on this one. And don't think the Holy Spirit is thinking your job is too big that he can't help you. But here's the problem. We don't really trust in the Holy Spirit to be the helper. Because why? I the man. Who the man? You the man? No. He the man. He the man. The one inside of you is the man. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. He's the one that you trust in. He's the author and finisher of your faith. See? He started and he will finish it. I'm trusting totally in you. But he said, go to your word. Go to the word, Rob. Go to the word, Pat. Clinton, you know I told you to go to the word. Paul, go to the word. I even got your name in the book. Don't talk about that man, Mama Mel. Go to the word. Bless him. You got to go to the word. This is where we live. We got to go to the word. But you know, because this thing will get you in trouble. That thing will get you, boy. And James talk about that. You know, you want to speak your mind. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. And really, you're supposed to be giving them faith-filled words that will edify and build them up. And really, you're supposed to be praying for that person. Yeah, they got some problems. Yeah, they got some issues, but you got some too. So, Lord, pray that I may be able to be more effective in my witnessing, but I also pray for them, whatever they're going through. Instead of just dropping the ball and saying every word that's contrary to the will of God. See, a lot of times we don't want to go into the prayer zone for others. We'd rather talk about others. Why? Because that's the easy way out. But question is that the word? That's just all in the head. And the enemy, the Bible said he's an accuser of the brethren. He's an accuser of the brethren. So he wants to bring accusations in your head to talk about the brethren. And brother means sisters too. You know, whoever you're talking about is referred to that. So you want to. So that means I'm going to have to believe God to pull down every stronghold. See, you got to understand, when people come against you, the reason why they come against you is because they're influenced by another spirit. Y'all hear me? The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, rulers of the darkness of this world. Those are things we wrestle against, but they're under our feet. So when a person come against you, and I know sometimes they kind of catch you, you know, unprepared, you know? And the reason why you was unprepared, because you hadn't been spending time in the Word, huh? To prepare you for battle, because we all going to have battles. We all going to have tests, you know, and we all get them. So how we respond to them will be according to what we've been spending time with in the Word. Amen? You spend good time in that Word, and God will also have good time for you to overcome all these things that the enemy try to overcome you with. See? Because you got overcoming power. You got overcoming faith. Steadfast faith. 2 Timothy 1:13. You can just write them down. Steadfast faith is hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. When you hold fast to something, you don't turn it loose. Right? When you hold fast to something, you're steadfast with it. When you hold fast to something, you are faithful to it. You know, everybody ain't faithful. See, a faithful person, the Bible said, the faithful man abounds in the blessing. Sometimes people get jealous or envious of others because the blessings are over them, but they don't know that they are faithful. Everybody ain't faithful. You may say you're faithful, but if you ask somebody else, they said, no, he ain't faithful. Huh? You may think you're faithful because you're all in your head, but your application of works denies all of that. Faithful. A faithful person. You got to understand the reason why, if any of us are faithful in anything, it's because of the empowerment of God's grace on our lives. To be faithful. You couldn't do nothing without him anyway. We need him in everything. When you got up this morning, it wasn't just you. Keep on living and thinking it's just you. One day you're going to wake up and you say, Lord, I need you. I was trying to tell you that 20-some years ago, but you thought it was you. Because you was living on your youth. That's why you got to say, my youth is renewed like an eagle. See, I'm getting old now. I just feel like Rachel was telling me about this guy. He was in his early 50s, and he's just barely getting into work. See, I was sharing with them last week. I said, if you got symptoms in your body, you need to speak to it. Yeah. Stop tolerating it. Yeah. Why are you tolerating it? Why? Because you ain't using your faith. I ain't get one amen on that. Use your faith. You got a pain in your hand. Don't call arthritis. Say, call those things that be not as though they were. Don't call rheumatism. You say, well, and you forget a lot. And you say, don't call Alzheimer's. Amnesia. What are you calling all that for? You got the mind of Christ. Call what the word of God says. Why? You believe more in the conditions of what you're dealing with than you believe in the Word of God. Why? Because you ain't been spending time there. To believe that the Word of God is able to change and rearrange and line you up. Can he heal or he just sometimes he heal and sometimes he don't? If you notice, whoever came to Jesus, you read your Bible, whoever came to Jesus, he didn't turn down not one person to get healed, not one. Now, there were some that came with doubt and unbelief, and the Bible says that. you know, he went to Nazareth and he couldn't heal but a few folks because of their doubt and unbelief. Because of their doubt and unbelief. So if you got doubt and unbelief, you can't receive. But when you got faith to believe, you open the door to receive. He said, but I'm trying, but it ain't working for me. I see why. Look at what I just said. It ain't working for me. You just said why it's not working. You spoke that, and you believe it ain't working for you more than you believe the word of God. You got to believe the word of God when opposition comes. Even when a fighter is in there bigger than you, stronger than you, you got to believe that you got something greater. You remember Goliath and David? Bigger, stronger. But what did he do? Huh? You uncircumcised, full of steam, come to defy my God? Huh? He had five stones, but he only used one to take him down. He believed that he was going to fall. He believed that he was going to cut his head off. He spoke those things. He never done it before, but he spoke it. Everybody, all the other soldiers in the army was fearful. You know they were. Huh? Are you in the fearful gang? Or are you a David? Huh? Ready for battle. Huh? That's how you got to see yourself. How do you see yourself? See, you are where you are by where you see yourself. You locate yourself by how you see yourself. Stop seeing yourself, you know, like the tradition of the family. You're a child of the Most High God. See yourself as God sees you. You're anointed for the job. You're there because you're anointed for the job. Success is all over you. Oh, no, that's not going to, I'm saying you're not going to have any issues or you're not going to have any opposition. You're not going to have any, you know, even when your dreams and visions, I was listening to Tony Evans this morning. He was talking about even with your dreams and visions, there'll be people that will come against all of that. But that don't stop your dream and vision. The greatest person that can stop your dream or your vision is you. Not the devil. You thought it was the devil. No, not even the devil. You. Now, if you want to take what the devil throw at you and take it, then yeah. But it was you that made that decision. He said, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Those things are set before you. But he told us to choose life that our seed and I may live. That's out of Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter to the 19th verse. So in other words, you got the word and you gotta release your faith in the word. What issues that you have that you don't believe can change? You married, you got a wife, she get on your last nerve, huh? Y'all think I'm talking about Melody, don't you? Huh? What if she is, then you need to change that. You didn't take authority over that spirit that influenced in your wife. You don't know what kind of wife I got. No, you gotta no, see, that's back to the head. That's back to the head. Huh? And vice versa now. Huh? Mama Mel can be up here and be saying the same thing. You know, you got a man? She pointed right to me. Huh? But the key is she gotta be speaking words of the end result she wants out of that man. She ain't gotta beat him up. I don't have to beat her up to make her change. I mean, I've saw that work in our ministry, you know, before I even started the ministry. Mama Mel can tell you, because Mama Mel got up a couple Sundays and shared to the congregation because it was all new to us. Ministry was all new to us, you know, stepping out. And the mind was saying, go traditional, because we come out of a traditional church. But my heart was saying, no. See, your heart is telling you things, and you said, well, I want to go the way I've been going all the time. But your heart is saying, no. But I choose this way because I got knowledge on you know, of this way, and this is the way it seemed like it could be smooth sailing for me. But I say, Holy Ghost, no. You know? And I remember, you know, Melody and I, we was kind of wrestling with that thing because she was wondering, how in the world are he going to start a church? Where are the people at? See, because you're looking at what you see. See, you're looking at what you see. You're not believing what you have. If you ain't believing what you have, it won't happen. And I tell you, the enemy gonna come against your head because he's gonna tell you, hey, you're right. What you said is right. There ain't nobody here. Is. Huh? And I remember we people would call me and I said, Yeah, I just got ordained. I remember the pastors, they ordained me and they asked me, where's your church at? Like I'm supposed to have a building. They call it the church. Where's your church? The people are the church, not the building. And I mean, I didn't have nothing but a house. You know, and I remember saying, I said, and they said, well, who called, what church called you? I said, God. I'm saying these are seasoned ministers, you know. I said, God. And they said, God? You know, they think a lot. They up here. I'm here. They up here. And then they said, well, then I actually explained it to them. I said, no, the Lord called me to start. Start my ministry. And then that kind of choked them. Because, see, they were all in established churches. So it was not like, you know, okay, that's not the status quo. And a lot of times when you operate in faith, you won't be operating with the status quo. You won't be operating around people that think like you think. You want everybody to think like you think, and they ain't going to think like you think. Sometimes you don't think like you think. Because you're thinking outside of what God told you to think. You know, you got enough to keep you thinking right. And I remember that I said, and I came back with Melody. And I said, it was a week later. And I said, we're going to start a ministry. And Melody, she was like, I don't know about all this. I could tell it was in her spirit, man. I said, Lord, help me, Jesus. Help me with my wife, Lord Jesus. You know, because I had already been strong, you know, both of us strong will. And so I had already done that. And I said, Lord, if you showed it to me, then you got to show it to her. I said, Lord, I can't make her see it. I said, you got to show it to her. And this is what the Lord told me. He said, when you talk on the phone, you talk about your ministry. And you tell them, okay, we're getting ready to start a ministry. We're going to start a ministry. Everybody I was talking to, I said, yeah, we're getting ready to get our ministry started. And then one day I heard my wife secretly. I was nosy that day. I snuck over and I heard her talking in a conversation. And I was nosy. My ears had grew that day, you know. And I heard her say, well, you know, Rock said he's getting ready to start a ministry. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Huh? But here's the deal. The seed had to be sown, not forced. If I'm going to force anything, I force the enemy hand. See? And that's what the Lord tells us to do when we're dealing with demons. We force the enemy hand. Come out in Jesus' name. See? The kingdom suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. See? And taking it by force is taking it by faith. Amen? You take it by faith. And faith is what? In the word. In the word that you speak and that you believe. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Every time, this is how I operate. Every time a thought comes to my mind that's contrary to the word of God that I'm believing for, I say, Father, I thank you. You bless me or whatever I'm dealing with. Father, I thank you that I got favor. All things working together for my good. For those who love God and call according to your purpose. Then I leave it. I leave it. There'll be times I may have to say, the weapons of my warfare, they are not countable. They're mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. I pull down every stronghold by the authority of the name of Jesus. Casting down the imagination of every high thing that they thought of itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. I'm going to walk in obedience to you, Father. Through your obedience, I'm able to walk in obedience. Not through my obedience, because of his obedience, I'm able to walk in. None of us could walk in obedience without the obedience of Christ. You wouldn't know how to walk in obedience because he was obedient to the very end because he took every test, every infirmity, every trial of mankind, and he overcame it. So my obedience is because of him in me. Greater is he that's in me than not me trying to get it done. It's already done because of his finished work. And I just grab hold of him. And he takes me through it. He takes me through it. Not me trying to take me through it. Come on now. Many of us have been trying to take ourselves through it. And God is the one that empowers us to overcome. What is it in your life that you have not dealt with that God has told you to deal with it with his word? And you said, I'm going to get around. Forget about that getting around to it. Do it. Bible said, be ye doers of the word and not just hearers only. You know, you done been on that road before. It's tired. Aren't you tired of going down that same road? I'm going to rejoice in the Lord anyhow. I'm going to praise you anyhow. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises will continually be in my mouth. You gotta stay there because the enemy wants to take you over here and Lodabar. Without. I mean, broke, busted, and disgusted. Wounded, crippled, blind, can't see, lame. He wants to keep you in that mindset when God has called you to be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in and blessed coming out, the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. You got to speak those words. That's the covenant that he has given us in Deuteronomy 28. So you stand on those first 14 verses, first through the 14th verse, stand on those words. Believe that those words. Yeah, it's going to be a fight, but the Bible says fight the good fight of faith. It's going to be a fight, but I'm ready. Because God has made me ready. Ready for the fight. What kind of fight you got going on right now? In your head that you have allowed your head to take over when God said, take it to the heart. Take it to the heart. Because remember now, Thomas took it to the head when he should have took it to the heart. Jesus had already told him, hey, I'm going to die. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to be in the grave for 3 days and three nights. I'm going to raise myself from the dead through the power of the Holy Ghost and God the Father. And Thomas said, I don't believe all that stuff y'all talking about, the other disciples, you know. And then the Bible says that he came within the 20th chapter of John. And he came into the room when the door was shut. So that means he had his glorified body operating. But also, I know, he said, look, touch my hands and you'll see the nail prints. Oh, that's just nice. I like that. He said, touch my side, my spirit on the side. And they said this spirit that entered his side, they said the spirit that the Roman soldiers used, they said it was about 5 inches width. And they said that it didn't break any of his bones because they said none of his bones would be broken. See, that's all scripture. But they said it went under his rib cage and it opened up. Anybody gets, you get a knife, it's strong enough. But you're talking about 5 inches and it's opening up? You got to be out of here. And so he was able to take his hand and reach into his side. But he had to feel it. He had to see it in order to believe it. That's how many Christians are. That's how many Christians are. You got to see it and feel it. Got to hear it from the doctor. Forgot all about Jesus. And what did he say? He said, blessed are those who have not seen. They're more blessed than who have not seen for those who have seen. You've seen, but you had to see it to believe it. See, the world got to see it to believe it. Believers believe it to see it. We believe it. To see it. We believe it to see it. We have it on the inside, just like a dream or vision. When you got your car, when you got your home, you didn't have it. You had to believe it to see it. Amen. I remember Mama Mel and I wanted to have another baby. I won't have the baby. Mama Mel is having the babies. But I wanted to have another child. And I remember we was We was wrestling over that thing. I can understand why we was wrestling, because, you know, I didn't have to birth the baby, right? And I was just praying. I said, honey, but I think you need another one to go along with them, huh? And she said, you may need another one to go along with them. And I'm believing God. I just kept on praying. I kept on talking. Huh? I never stopped talking. You know, we all had Ron and Jesse, but Ron, he was a lot older, because he was way before Jesse. But Rachel, I think it took about 3 years? Was it 3 years apart? And then she decided to be obedient. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then we had Rachel. But I know, you know, with both of them being birthed, I think she see the blessings out of it now. She couldn't see it then, though. And see, now that's how some of us are. We can't really see it because it hasn't manifested yet. But you got to believe it. See? He said, I've made you a father of many nations, Abraham. He didn't have any kids except for, you know, Ishmael. Only one. But that was not of Sarah, his wife. It was by the bondsmaid. So he said, a father of many nations? What nation? He ain't nobody to make no nation. What's offspring gonna make the nation? But it was faith. He was believing by faith. And that's how you have to believe your dreams. That's how you believe your vision. Every day when you get up and you put your feet on the floor, you have to believe, I have another day to be a blessing. I have another purpose and assignment to bring glory and honor to God. I have an assignment to do great exploits that God has called on. You got to see, if you don't see yourself that way, you see, I don't know, I got no day, I don't feel like getting up. Lord Jesus, I got to go to this job, man. Please, Jesus, help me. Who that sound like? Who that sound like? Huh? And see, your attitude, will determine your altitude. Your attitude will determine your altitude. You got to change the way you think when you get up. This is going to be a good day. Because why? God said it's a good day. God told me to rejoice. This is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's what he told me to do. Not because it had to be everything happening for me. I believe it because God said it. See, if God said it, you have to believe it. So whether you want to believe it or not, God has already said it. But if you don't believe it, it won't be manifested. Because you've determined what kind of day you have, because he's made you the God in the life that you have been called to. See? So he's given you responsibility. He's given you words from his word to speak his words, so that you'll have his words. So I want y'all to think, I know how to preach. This is a teaching day. You need some teaching today. Get your mind transformed, thinking God's will, God's word. Don't look like, you know, just for instance, when Jesse and Rachel was going to school, it was easy in high school and grade school. I mean, it was expensive, but college was different. First year with Rachel, it was, you know, it was like what, $24,000? That's what some folks make. $24,000 was the tab. That was just for the class. That wasn't for the books. That wasn't for the activities. That wasn't for the hidden fees. I could have said, Lord Jesus. Huh? You know what I'm saying? But here's the thing, I plan. See, a lot of folks don't plan. I plan before I sent my kids to college. I plan. I said, Mel, we're gonna make sure we have our house paid off before our kids go to school. Paid off. I made sure when I got my second house, I made sure all my cars were paid off so we could get other stuff. I made sure, in other words, I had a plan. You know, I had a plan. Let me tell you this. I ain't stopped my tithing. I ain't stopped my giving either. Amen. I ain't stopped. You know, some people stop tithing and stop giving. you know, but if you give sparingly, you'll reap sparingly too. Huh? And you wonder why you're struggling. You wonder why it's hard. It's difficult. Well, because no faith in the word. You don't have no faith in the word. See, and I could go, I said, Father, you said in your word, because I'm a tither, you rebuked the devourer for my sake. All nations shall call me blessed. I kept speaking that word. I kept speaking that word. And I kept speaking that word. And God has blessed me. Now most parents are not paying for their kids' college tuition. Huh? But Pastor Rock, Mama Mel, we stood on it. I said, I want my kids to have it better than I did. See, my dad really couldn't afford to take me to you know, his job wasn't that great, you know. Couldn't afford to take me through college and stuff like that. I had to go on my own. But see, that's where my faith was. My faith was there. My faith was there. Look, don't worry, Dad. Don't worry about it. God will provide. See, my faith was there. See, I believe God, and God provided. God sent me through school, paid everything. You know, I ain't had to worry about borrowing any money. God supplied the need. I put my faith out there. See, that's where we live. Come on, don't you live there? I know some of us live there. You got to put your faith out there. Lord, you said in your word, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Father, I'm standing on your word, but don't look like it's working. That's what your head is saying. You keep saying, Father, I thank you that you said you'll supply all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Yeah, but you're just saying that because pastor said that. No, I'm saying it because the word told me to say that. What things will I desire when I pray, believe I receive them. When you pray, are you believing? And when you're believing, what are you saying? Because if you're not saying God's word, you're not getting God results. Amen? Stand up on your feet.